welcome to the Voice Retail Podcast. My name is Michael LeBlanc, and I am your host. I believe in the power of storytelling to bring the retail industry to life. Each week, I'll bring insights, perspectives, and experiences from some of the retail industry's most innovative and influential voices. This podcast is produced in conjunction with the Retail Council of Canada. David Wilkinson, president of NCR Commerce, is back on the podcast, recorded live in person at the NRF show in New York City. First, we chat about our impressions of the 2023 big show, and then we quickly dive into some of the most compelling and fascinating issues for the retail industry. NCR is one of the world's largest suppliers of retail POS equipment. David himself, a 12-year veteran of NCR, and his team have unique insights into the future of self-checkout, POS, and a world of AI, machine vision, rapid innovation, and retail technological investment. Let's listen in now. David, welcome to the Voice of Retail Podcast, or should I say welcome back to the Voice of Retail Podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm doing well. Always a pleasure to be here with you. Thank you.
Well, it's even more a pleasure because the past two times we've chatted on the podcast, it's been virtually. Now I get to see you live in person.
I know. If people could be here with us in person, they would see that we are surrounded by thousands of our best friends and a very crowded hall at Javits Hall here. So, it's nice to be face-to-face.
Now, like me, are a veteran of these shows. What do you think? Do you think we're back to where it was pre-COVID? I mean, I can't even move in the hallways. I'm just trying to get my head around. What do you think?
Yeah, we are. So this year, I was appointed to the board of the NRF. So I attended my first board meeting. Yeah, thank you, on Saturday. And so we were going through some of the stats of what's happening in the show. And indeed, the show is bigger than it was pre-pandemic. So this would be the largest NRF that we've ever had, both from a participant, companies participating, and from a registered attendee. And I'll tell you, we compared our stats yesterday to our stats last or 2020, the last time we had an in-person show.
Yep.
And we were somewhere between 5% and 10%, depending on how we looked at it, up on traffic from that. And we thought that show was as busier than ever.
Yeah, I was going to say that's an impressive milestone. And tell me about why or what you do on the board. Like what, you're such an important part of retail, you and the company. So what do you talk about? What do you bring to that discussion?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's a bit of a fresh perspective, I think, to the board. We have the boards are made up of a great group of people. The CEOs of a lot of great retail brands sit on the board, and the board does such a fabulous job. Matt Shea does a great job with his team and the whole government affairs team, making sure that the best interest of consumers and retailers are met, and how we make laws and how we serve the interests of that community. And I'm excited to be there in the sense that I get to see a lot of other retail brands. So I'm a little bit like NRF in the sense that I don't bring just a single retailer perspective. I do bring a bit more of a retail perspective, and a perspective that's slightly different from one that's been serving the retail industry forever, for over 130 years, and one that is changing and transforming the industry through technology. So it's a unique perspective, I believe. So I'm excited to participate to help shape the future of what NRF does and help this industry.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about more about that, but it's great, right? Because you get some inside baseball about what it takes to manage an industry so large from the political process perspective and all those things, from the advocacy, how you advocate, how you intersect, and it's an interesting peek behind the curtains, right?
And there are so many big topics that are affecting retail today. When you look at things like data and data privacy, you look at payments and payment security, you look at computer vision and what happens when you do facial recognition and overall privacy with that. You look at organized retail crime and the massive problem that we have in the industry around shrink. So there are so many big, meaty topics that require not just retailers and technology, but the broader public, our government, and laws to help us solve that. It's really a great industry group, and I think they bring a lot to us.
Neat. Well, we kind of jumped in. Who are you?
Yeah.
Tell us about yourself, and tell us about what you do for a living.
Yeah, so I for those of you that listen and pay attention, I'm been at NCR for 12 years. We have done some changes inside of NCR. We've combined our retail and restaurant business together, so now I lead an integrated commerce business. As those lines are blurring between food service
grocery
and grocery.
Grocery
exactly.
Ants.
Yeah, and food service and convenience and what's happening. You know, you go to a Wawa today, and it's much more. It's a sub shop more than a gas station,
right?
In some locations. So, you know, there was a blurring of lines there, and we felt like that the technology made sense to combine those two teams so that we could get some benefit and synergy. So I'm just having fun serving two very great industries that I've been having the opportunity to look after for, you know, 10 or 12 years here.
Now, does convenience store, the C store, fit within that? Because I was at the big NACS show in Vegas, and my head was on a pivot. What a show. But, you know, what jumped out at me is there's a lot of room for improvement around technology. And, you know, as that industry wants to move itself forward beyond just the purveyors of, you know, quick snacks and gasoline, there's a lot of great. We talked to the folks from Come and Go, you know, a lot of great vision behind what they're doing, data infused, technology infused. We talked to Pilot J, another big client or big player in the industry,
are.
Right?
They are a big client of ours. So yes, convenience and fuel does fall into that space. As a matter of fact, tomorrow when I'm speaking on the main stage, Shamik Konar, the CEO of Pilot Flying J, will be with me speaking about the role of technology in the consumer experience as well. So yes, that industry is really ripe for technology.
I was just going to say the exact same thing, because that was us when we came out. This is ripe for transfer. Like, this is like retail. It's not an exact analogy, but it's like retail like 5 or 10 years ago. They're like on the cusp of greatness. Not that they're not great now, particularly the folks we're talking about.
Right.
Tell us about NCR. I mean, you know, everybody knows the three letters. You're a big player. But tell us a little bit about the modern, who you are, scope and scale, just so everybody kind of understands who you are.
Yeah, if we look at the combined commerce business between what we do in retail and restaurant, we're about a $3 billion company focused on technology to serve customers. I think we're the, you know, we are one of the largest. We're the market leader in self-checkout. We're the market leader in point-of-sale software in those industries that we serve. So we are really excited about our capability and our responsibility that we have in the industries that we serve to keep commerce up and running across the board.
Flowing.
Yeah, and so, you know, we are a platform-led software and services company, and we have started to now get into the payments space. So we're attaching payments on what we're doing. In the SMB restaurant side, we're 90%+ payments led and what we're doing with restaurants. So yeah, we think there's an opportunity to simplify that environment for our client base and really take a few steps out and allow them faster time to market, maybe a little lower cost of total ownership.
You've got an impressive physical presence here at the show.
Thank you.
How important is a show like this for you? We're kicking off the year. It's obviously the NRF is important to you and to the organization, but how important is a show like this to you?
It's extremely important to us. Not only do we get an opportunity to see clients from all around the world, we have, you know, you walk around, you see our team from Japan with clients, our team from South America have clients here. Europe always has a big showing. In many cases, we'll be 40 or 50% of our participants to our booth will be from somewhere other than the United States. So it's an opportunity to bring all of those people together that we don't normally get to see. It's also a great opportunity for our employees to get together, unify around a common message, and really solidify that messaging and how we're delivering it to the market. And I couldn't be prouder than for the employees of NCR as they show up to this incredible event and show their pride and their passion for serving the industry. The team has done a fabulous job with the booth, as you said.
People are great here. It's fantastic.
And the messaging is resonating really well with our clients.
I'd almost argue, I wonder if you agree, that it's more important than it was pre-pandemic. Because I don't know what your work relationship or the work situation is, work at home, work everywhere, but bringing people together probably has even more impact in a show like this and all the things that happen in and around it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we it's interesting. We were here last year. So everybody says this event was in person, the pandemic shut everything down. We felt as a company that we had a responsibility to continue to serve retail. Our retail customers couldn't shut their doors during the pandemic. They serve a critical function in society, and we felt like we were going to be here to support them through it all. So we were here. We had our teams here. To your point, they weren't together during the normal course of the year. As we do this event, you're absolutely right. They getting our employees together, you see them hugging, you see them high-fiving. You see
a lot of that here.
You see the camaraderie that is created, and they do an amazing job helping each other, supporting each other, and it's something that is even more important now because the face-to-face interactions are just fewer.
Yeah, I mean, as a leader, do you think about that often? How do you create culture in a remote environment? and how do you expand beyond? Because you probably benefit. When I talk to executives, they say, listen, productivity is not the issue. We're getting great, you know, productivity. But that, I don't know, that attachment to the business, that culture, it's very hard to inculcate, particularly new people, let alone existing people, right? So do you envision more of this, not more of the NRF show or big shows, but getting people together more like this? I'm always asking leaders about how they're thinking about this on a go-forward basis.
Yeah, I do. I agree with you. I think, you know, reflect, and maybe I'm stuck in the old ways, but I reflect back to, I still can remember early in my career when you were new and you needed that support. You needed a support system. You needed to walk in and see your manager. You needed to feel connected to something bigger. I think without that physical connection, we lose the ability to emotionally attach ourselves to a company, to a brand, to a vision. So I'll tell you, on behalf of NCR, we do believe in a culture that has face-to-face interactions, and we want to have people in the office working together. So we will continue, as we have, moving towards more of an in-person work environment. Of course, there are jobs that are remote. I mean, a lot of development jobs we can do remotely. Our field services technicians are in the field every day. They don't have an office. A lot of our sales teams are co-located.
As you said, your presence is out there, man. You're not, it kind of continues. Well, let's transition from this. Fascinating.
Perfect.
Thanks for sharing. What are you guys showing here? What's new and exciting? And then I want to talk about self-serve. I was showing a bunch of retailers some interesting self-serve applications. We were at Uniqlo. We were looking at their RFID self-serve, and everybody's, ooh, look at that. It's pretty cool. So first of all, what's new here, and what are you showing?
Yeah, we've got the NCR Commerce platform that is the core of everything we're doing. And as I described earlier, we believe that the need to differentiate your brand experience as a retailer is what's most important. And we also believe that to do that, you've got to have more and more technology in your store. And all that technology requires the ability to run it. And if you run it as architectural islands, it gets terribly expensive and you can only do so much of it. So we're advocating the NCR Commerce platform. It's a way to bring together a common data layer, a common transaction layer, a common customer view, and allow you to consume innovation at a way that is much more affordable and allows you to deploy at a faster scale and take advantage of all the great things that we're seeing all over the floor here at NRF. So the Commerce platform, while it's not new, what we're showing is a lot of the success that we've seen and the benefits that we're creating for our clients as we're changing the cost curve and how they deploy technology in store today. The other stuff that we're doing, I mean, if you go
Are you putting payments as part of that? Because you mentioned payments earlier, right?
Payments is
newer for you, though.
It is.
Right?
It is. We made an acquisition a couple of years ago of a company, JetPay, that gets us into the merchant acquiring space. We don't want to be a broadline merchant acquirer, but we want to attach payments. When we start a payment, we want to finish it.
Right.
And we do a lot of starting of
But your your overarching objective strategically for the customer is kind of, as you say, no islands, no silos, kind of seamless.
Right.
Less than you really want to be in the payments business per se.
Right.
Right? It just really, you want to be that component that closes the loop for everybody.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And we believe that we want to run the technology in the store, run the store technology side of what our customers do so they can focus on being really good retailers. Let us be the good technology people, you be good retailers, and then that'll create the right balance in what's going on. You'll also see some things that we're doing out there that are platform-enabled, like computer vision self-checkout. So we have a philosophy around computer vision that's a holistic experience. It's not just for checkout. It could track shopper journeys throughout the store. It could be a shrink deterrent tool in the front of the store, in the back of the store, throughout the store. The way we're thinking about computer vision self-checkout is it also needs to be inclusive. So in many of the instances where you see it, it's only covering some small fraction of the transactions in the store. Ours is we'll call it a retrofit. We're the market leader in self-checkout, so we want to be able to retrofit any self-checkout in the market with the ability to do computer vision.
Interesting.
So that retailers can try these things. If computer vision's right for them, great. If it's not, they haven't wasted a bunch of time creating another technology in the store that's not going to work.
Or in their, you know, in their warehouse where they put their tested stores.
Exactly.
But it's all cycles. Nobody's got spare cycles. So unpack that a bit for me. So it's funny because, as I mentioned earlier, I had the opportunity to take a bunch of retailers on a store tour yesterday, and one of the things we looked at is, of course, we look at what's new in self-checkout. We went into the Target store in Soho, and it was just back-to-back. You know, they're like, wow, look at how many banks there are. So we're just looking at the technology. Now, when you describe that computer vision, if I say, as a use case, I bring over a big bunch of grapes and I put them on a scale so you get weight. Does the computer vision says, well, that's a green grape. I know that. Is it that sophisticated?
Yes, it is that sophisticated.
Wow.
And today we have the capability to do that even in an assisted lane to help the cashier throughput, but identify, we call it pick list assist. You know, when you go up to self-checkout and you, instead of having to scroll through A to Z, we know that the AI models know that it is a green grape, or
let's get you there faster.
Say it's an avocado and it may look like a lime. It may give you just a lime and an avocado to choose from, not A to
Z.
So yeah, we're doing.
So that already exists.
That exists. Right. That exists. So we're trying to bridge that into a more inclusive experience to include all items, and it only makes sense if it accelerates or takes friction out of the process. In many cases, it's adding friction to the process. So we're trying to integrate it into what customers know and love about the existing self-checkout experience and adding just another sensor. Like you said, on the RFID side, if you walked away from the computer vision space and went around the corner of the booth, you would see where we're showing our RFID self-checkout, where just like you saw in Uniqlo, you can set items on the counter.
Yeah, yeah.
The RFID sensor is under the counter. It rings up the itemized basket of things that you just set on the counter, and then you're free to remove safety tags, bag, whatever you want to do in a specialty soft goods.
Yeah, let's talk about the process, because there's a bunch of questions I couldn't answer yesterday. they had a little bin, and they're like, okay, you tell me there's an RFID chip in every product. I think so.
Yes.
And then how does it work with security tags? So walk us through how the product works. So first answer is everybody's got to have RFID tags.
Correct.
And are we at that point? I mean, RFID tags have been the next best thing for 10 years. Are we now at the point where it makes sense economically to put them in? And my follow-up question is, is it making sense because it works in self-checkout and therefore that all stitches it together? So what are you hearing?
So, yeah, I'll tell you, the process is, if you're using RFID self-checkout, everything has to have a self-checkout tag.
Right.
What we believe, though, is everything won't have an RFID tag. So we believe you have to have the ability to do RFID tag, vision, traditional scanning. Mm. It's this whole notion of having a multi-sensor self-checkout experience that creates the best consumer experience and the best benefit for retailers.
Mm. Kind of like a belt and suspenders approach. In other words, some items, like $299 items.
Right. We had a retailer from the UK in today talking about self-checkout vision. And they were asking. They sell a lot of beauty products that are small and look alike. So think about a tube of lipstick.
Sure. Only 50 same tubes, but on it it says gray, blue, red.
Right. So they're like, can I ever get computer vision to work? Mm. They're too cheap to put RFID tags on. Mm. How do I have self-checkout in those worlds? So those are the kind of problems that we're trying to solve through this multi-sensory or multimodal self-checkout. So it's in the process of, if you're a retailer and your whole brand is built on an associate creating a great experience, removing the sensor labels, boxing up an item, handing you a bag from behind a counter, self-checkout may not be the way you want to go.
Yeah.
The way you want to go is getting your cashier out from behind the counter, doing more clienteling and mobile queue busting. The brand differentiation is going to come through the experience, and that experience needs to be defined by the retailer. And we're going to create a technology platform that will meet the retailer where they want to meet their consumer. That's our whole goal.
Right, that intersection point. Now, earlier we were talking about your role at NRF. You're learning about ORC, organized retail crime. Unfortunately, a familiar term to many of the listeners and many of us. And let's put that together with self-checkout. That's been a bit of a weakness historically. What are you guys doing to address organized crime, but the theft at self-checkout? It sounds like this three-part model makes it pretty hard to do ticket swapping and all the things that have been a bit of a cancer on retail for years. How do you guys think about that? It must be a big challenge for you.
It is a big challenge, and we do think computer vision and the AI ML modeling that goes with it is one of the big answers to that. Mm. So you talked about ticket switching. If I know that I have an item and I'm scanning it and it looks like a steak, and it rings up like a package of drink powder or whatever for 99 cents, I can tell that there's a mismatch. So that is one way of doing that. It's also catching some of the innocent things of a consumer that just misscans something, or an associate that might intervene and enter key in an item, say, I don't know what that item is, so I just key in a dollar to keep the customer moving.
Yeah.
There's a lot of innocent shrink that's happening at the checkout, whether it's self-checkout or assisted checkout. So we think computer vision and things like that are the way to go. It's not some of the organized retail crime and the ability to, we're not going to tackle everybody as they leave the store. We're not going to put associates in harm's way to solve this problem. So we have to be really creative about the things that we can control. And then people like the NRF will go do great things in terms of lobbying with lawmakers and how do we get
some recent, there's some recent lobbying and legislation on that. On
absolutely,
you know, making sure the marketplaces are knowing who their customers are, so that stuff doesn't move around. And we could have a whole separate podcast on that.
We could,
I'm sure. But listen, it's been great. It's so great to meet you in person. Great to learn what you guys are up to. Where can we, any of the listeners, go to get in touch or learn more about what you guys do?
Yeah, the same way. The team keeps me pretty busy. Most of what we post is on LinkedIn. You can either go to my LinkedIn or you can go to and follow NCR. We do a lot of posting on NCR's own Twitter page, or you can just go to ncr.com and find out what we're up to.
Well, David, thanks for joining me on the Voice Retail podcast.
Appreciate
it was
being
nice
here.
To meet you, man.
It is nice to meet you in person.
Listen, have a great rest of your show, and we'll look forward to keeping in touch over the year.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Voice of Retail. If you haven't already, be sure and follow on your favorite podcast platform so new episodes will land automatically each week. And check out my other retail industry media properties, the Remarkable Retail Podcast with Steve Dennis, and the Global E-Commerce Leaders Podcast. Last but not least, if you're into barbecue, check out my YouTube barbecue show, Last Request Barbecue, with new episodes each and every week. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, growth consultant, president of ME LeBlanc Company and Maven Media, and keynote speaker. If you are looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at meleblanc.co. Safe travels, everyone!